local church. All right, if you will, please watch closely now. And I'm going to read from verse 5 of Philippians 2. And then we'll read a few verses. And then we'll pray and make some comments. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, particularly these two verses. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now we'll pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the day. And all day long, each of us enjoyed your grace, your protection, your care. There is absolutely no question about the fact that you care for us and you are protecting us. Tonight, when we look at these particularly two verses, we plead with you that you will enable us. Give us thy power. And may we, when we hear the truth, see the truth, help us to be willing in being teachable to be changeable. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that you are familiar enough with the church at Philippi that is the one church, with the exception of one occasion, that supported the Apostle Paul all through his ministry. He founded the church. The people in the church had been taught by him. He is now, according to what we read here, away from them. And he's making quite a bit to do about his absence and then what his presence meant to them. So I want you to notice tonight that what he's doing here in this book, in Philippians, in this chapter, he's teaching about three things. He's teaching the Philippians about the aim. He's teaching about the attitude. And he's teaching about the assistance. Writing to them now, those three things, those ingredients, he's teaching about them. Now, I want you to notice something. He addresses these believers at Philippi in the very warmest of terms. My dear friends, or literally, verse 12, my beloved. And for good reason. See, he has been saying earlier, he's been saying some difficult things. And he wants the people to know that this that he is saying comes from a heart of love. He addresses some issues. Then he calls them my beloved. And out of the heart of this great apostle, he wants them to be sure and get the spirit as well as the wording of what's being written. In the past, Paul taught in person, personally, about obedience. Now, in his absence, he pleads that they listen and obey the spirit of two things, unity and humility. Now don't miss those two words, unity and humility. Unselfishness, servanthood. If you sum up these qualities in one word, that word would be the word holiness. A lot of mistakes have been made about the scriptural teaching about holiness. It's not something that can be easily thought through or then disregarded. We'll see that in just a few moments here. Now, if you and I are really concerned about living right, now let me say that again. If you are really concerned in this age of rush, this age of hurry, this age of often forgetting to be kind and compassionate toward others, if you're really longing to, desiring to, live a life that really honors God, you are going to strive for, you're going to yearn for, you're going to look for a life that is seen by God as holy. Absorb what I just said. Please watch. If these qualities we're talking about, if they're summed up in that one word, holiness, then you need to understand that this means becoming more like the Lord Jesus. He said, let this mind be in you. Verse 5. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Then there's a description of that. If I'm to be the servant that I ought be, then my life is to be governed by and a looking forward to and addressing the issues of the day and paying close attention to what God has to say so that my life in growth in grace gets to the place where in the eye of God it can be called holy. Now, if that's true, then you won't have any problem getting along with someone else. Did you hear me? That's a fact. You see, Paul addresses a number of things even in just this chapter 2. I am to be the kind of Christian that daily, longingly wants to grow in grace. And in so doing, then that would include all of the things mentioned in the book of Galatians. That would include what Peter says about God has given to us all things. So there's nothing lacking. He's given to us all things. Now, in addition to the fact that He's given to us all things, He has given us a settlement that includes a rescue when we got saved and received the Lord Jesus, so that now it's a settled matter, and positionally speaking, we're already in heaven. Not practically, but positionally. And so with that being so, my days that I take, my steps, the places where I go, the way I think, what I sing, what I do, it is to be governed by this desire of holiness. And so, if I'm to become more like the Savior in my attitude, in my action, in my behavior, you can be sure that it will be noticed by others. Because quite frankly, folks, there aren't all that many who are saved who really longingly want this particular thing to be present in their lives, the matter of holiness. They're not. Oh, I don't mean they're not serving. I don't mean that they don't come to church. I don't mean that they don't tithe. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm talking about that inward manner that in each step of the thought life, as you surrender to God, there is this longing, this desire to be holy. 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 Lord. God. Almighty. That I should want to be just like that. So, these three ingredients that we're talking about, if you and I pay close attention to them, it will help us. It will help us to strive to attain the very thing that seems as if it's not attainable. Obviously, you've heard it from the pulpit. You've heard pastor preach it. It's impossible on your own. That's true. It is impossible for me to be what I ought to be. But since with God all things are possible, if I'm guilty of when the preacher preaches, hanging on every word, and then if I have the habit of spending the kind of time that ought to be spent in the Word of God, the love letter of God, the work manual of God, if I do that on a daily basis, then there is an operational procedure on the part of the Spirit of God that as I take these truths in, they begin to fashion my life, and the Holy Spirit is helping me to surrender to the things that I've read, to the things that I hear, and I am so blessed abundantly that I don't have any time to gripe. Amen. You see, it's a practical thing. Since I'm positionally there, it's a practical thing for me to demonstrate it here before I go there. And so first, my aim. Verse 12. Makes a statement. It really means continue to work out your salvation. Work out the implications of this wonderful gift that is in your life on a daily basis. That's what he means. See, salvation, which means to be made whole through Christ, has three tenses. You've heard this. First, when you receive the Savior, it can be said now, you have been saved. Now that's in the past. Galatians 2:20. And then you are being saved. In verse 12, it refers to it. And that's on a daily basis. Right now, as I take my steps, as I drive my truck, as I relate to my wife or my daughter or my grandson, or as I come here tonight to preach, I mean, I am being saved on a daily basis. It's settled that I'm going to heaven. But I am to demonstrate that fact by living in such a manner with this desire to be holy that folks can't but help recognize that there's something quite different about me now than I was before I was saved. So I have been saved. I am being saved by the power of God. And then in the future, Philippians 3:21, I will be saved. So I've been saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. My aim, that I might be holy. But the second ingredient, my attitude. Verse 12, this attitude of mine I should adopt the attitude of fear and trembling. You say, well, no, wait a minute. What do you mean? You mean be afraid? No. Let me explain what he's talking about here when he says that this is to be so in our lives with fear and trembling. Here's what Paul is doing. He's reminding the Philippians of a truth that runs throughout the whole Word of God. The holy living is a serious business. I must be serious about it. I'm not to treat it as casual or make it somehow a laughing matter or something that's to be treated lightly. No, God demands our respect. And so what he's saying here, my behavior on a daily basis is to fit God's pattern. And it demands my full attention. And our relationship and our fellowship with God is the most important issue in our lives. And so Paul is writing about a healthy, motivating fear, not a destructive one. And he's telling the church to adopt an attitude of serious intent toward holy living. My aim, my attitude. Now, the third ingredient. Paul mentions it requires assistance. Verse 13. Assistance that can come only from God. No man can do it for you. No person can do it for you. No church can do it for you. This assistance comes only from Almighty God. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have a Savior that has saved you. You have a Father that cares for you. And all three of them, in their compassion and care for you, are at work to keep you, to send you, to use you, to be good to you in every sense of the word. Anytime anything happens and someone does something to you and it hurts you, just remember, God didn't do it. Don't forget that. No matter how ugly something may be, God didn't do it. He is a wonderful God of all grace. He is as gracious as can possibly be. And beyond our understanding, even in a care, in a day like this in which we're living, God Almighty has not lost a case. And you and I, we belong to Him. My aim must be right. My attitude must be right. And I must depend upon His assistance. To will, to act according to His good purpose is the way Paul puts it. God at work. Now, here's a reminder. You Philippians, you're not alone. With all the treachery that surrounds you, all of the enticements of the wicked one that are close to you, you're not alone. God has promised you His help. Now, you know, when you and I think of that, I want you to just think, what about that? His help. If I don't feel good, I just don't feel good. Who is going to make it possible, even with my taking Advil or Tylenol or Aleve or Vanquish? Who is going to do what needs to be done in my body that makes me feel better? The pharmacist? Nope. God, the Lord, our Savior, the great physician, He's the one. And He's never turning away from you. His way is always open to you, to me. And so He's saying to these Philippians, God is working in your life. He is helping you. He's working. He's working that you might be fashioned in such a manner that you will more wonderfully glorify His blessed name. I mean, He works inside you so that your desires become different. The days go by and you see a change and you want what's right, and God fashions you and works and the Spirit of God, and you, all of a sudden, you realize that you're not doing some of the things you used to do. And you rejoice. And God continues to bless based on your obedience, on your aim, on your attitude, and on depending on His assistance. And so, through the ages, question here, how do you achieve God's desire in you? It's not just because of a decision. A decision's important, but it isn't just because of a decision. Here, let me be very painfully practical, may I? sweetheart, I'm going to use you as an illustration. By the way, when I say sweetheart, I'm talking about my daughter here now. Yesterday, made 11 years since her wreck where she almost died. Yesterday. Tonight. Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Wednesday. I remember I was preaching. Oh, my goodness, yes. Okay, 11 years ago. Now, watch this. With all of that dilemma, with all of that trauma, with all of that drama, where she hovered between life and death for 52 days on a ventilator, and at one point almost died because of a lack of oxygen because the nurse wasn't paying attention. And one night she woke up and said, Lord, if I'm not saved, I want to know it. Or if I am saved, I want to know it. And like the washing of great wave, God in His majesty washed over her being, and she knew that she was saved. And from that point on, she began to get better. And now after 24 surgeries and never being free from pain, God has restored her. And it is evident, particularly for those of a family who are real close to her, it is so evident about the restoration. I know she wouldn't want me to say this. When she plays the piano, it's so different than what it used to be when she played the piano. She walks with her agony, but there's something different about her walk. When we talk, there's something different about her talk. And God continues to bless her and use her. Almighty God, in looking at us tonight, in looking at you folks online, in taking note of the Woodside Baptist Church, the body for whom Christ died, shed His blood, we have so much to be thrilled about. I mean, look carefully at what Paul is saying. There are two, hear me carefully now, there are two equally important ideas. You and I are expected to live out from our inside our aim, our attitude, in purity, and in God's promises. And God's at work in us, and we're to depend upon His assistance with our aim and our attitude. And Paul is, he's encouraging his Philippian friends to do just this, to press on in faith, to pursue holiness with a relentless hunger, and to become more Christ-like, to realize behind it all, God is willing and working to achieve his good purpose, which is to produce a people conformed to the likeness of his Son. Romans 8, verse 29. See, the end product is holiness. With all that you learn and live, it's a matter of holiness. I mean, to bow the knee in our aim, in our attitude, and in the assistance which makes holy living possible. So, in closing, what is Paul saying here? Here's what he's saying. Carry your salvation toward completion. That's what he's saying. There are victories to be won. There are virtues to be developed. There are crowns to be obtained. And you and I were to strive with fear and trembling. And these words spoken tonight, they denote submission and reverence toward God and a humble distrust of ourselves. The whole work is of God. But the whole work is of man. Don't miss that. The whole work is of God. The whole work is of man. Not one without the other. Not one 3/4 and the other 1/4. No. Totally speaking, the whole work is of God. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for these precious individuals who've come here tonight. And all of those precious individuals online. And those with great needs. And those that are facing issues. And those of us who have come through a day where you took such care of us that we are protected. And do not yet any have the coronavirus. Thank you, Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.